And a very good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you. I'll be joined by Kyle in just a few moments as we travel back in time. Tonight's show is taking place in December of 2010, and it's taking place on a train. Yes, we're taking a train from northern Norway to northern Sweden in the middle of December. And the amazing thing about this, you can barely tell we're on a train. Now imagine if you were on the Long Island Railroad or Amtrak or just anything in the United States. Boy, you would know you were on a train. There'd be all kinds of racket and things falling over. But when you travel on a train up there, it's smooth, it's quiet, it's comfortable, it's amazing. And the next two shows actually take place on that train. And we're basically reminiscing about what we saw in Norway. Last week's show took place in Tromsø, in northern Norway. And there were a lot of things that we took out of that situation, out of the experience of just going up there and living with the people for a little while. And well, I say that like we were in igloos or something like that, and hanging out with natives and skinning wildlife. No, it wasn't like that at all. It's a major city with don't walk signs and everything. It's really pretty incredible. We had a great time, but we did notice quite a few differences, such as, well, things being incredibly expensive, at least from our point of view, and how we managed to adjust to that. Various other cultural differences, such as when things are open until, and just the way people wind up doing things. And also, the way we wound up on the train in the first place, that was sort of a cultural difference as well, because... well, let's just say it wasn't our initial plan to go to Sweden. We were going to go down to Oslo, and something got kind of fouled up with customer service as far as trying to book a train ticket. But we'll get into that. That's part of the whole story we'll tell. Again, this takes place on the train. It's Christmas time, so you'll hear various things when we cut to Swedish radio. We'll be playing Swedish radio this week. You'll hear holiday-themed type things. And while we're moving from Norway into Sweden, the radio was recorded all in Sweden. In fact, this first piece that we're about to hear kind of indicates how diverse the radio is in Sweden. I'll bet this is not the kind of thing you were planning on hearing if you were listening to radio in Stockholm. Enjoy.
Estaban sacando plan con otro, entonces yo era el testigo fiel, pero no les era fiel a ellas. Llegaba a la casa y le decía de inmediato: se ha estado besando con un tipo. No te llevo otra vez nunca más, ni te compro tu helado, nada, Carlito, cállate. No, yo no me callo porque he visto esa cosa. Yo era un celoso con mis primas y mi hermano. Uy, ella no lo dejaba con nadie, le tiraba con onda, con piedra en la cara a aquellos que se le acercaban a piropearlas. Y esta canción es así: Lucho Maceo. Eso. Oh, no. En un saludo primero, un saludo. Saludos de Taitachi a toda la hermosa y bella gente amazónica.
En un diciembre, que en un humilde pesebre, la luz del mundo llegó.
Eso es verdad, eso es verdad.
Cerca la Navidad.
Pim, pro.
Y a todos nos alejan.
Pam, pam.
El Ibarito cantando aire de felicidad.
Radio Amazonas, 88.9, frecuencia modulada, la emisora más caliente de toda Escandinavia, más salvaje que el jaguar. Les desea muchas felicidades, amor, éxito y nuevos triunfos en estas fiestas navideñas y en este hermoso Año Nuevo.
¡Felicidad!
Todos los locos que trabajamos en Radio Amazonas,
¿sí?
La radio del pueblo latino, junto con nuestros auspiciadores y patrocinadores, les agradecemos de todo corazón vuestra amable preferencia.
Así es.
Que lo pasen bien chévere, mi gente.
Y pasen loco como el pavo. Ay, ay, ay.
Willy Willingue, Willy Willingue.
La campana, Barbarito, la campana. Qué vacilón, ¿verdad, Radio Amazonas? 19-10-00.
con Carlitos, el de los ojos color capulín.
Hi.
Good. We're on the... hang on. Where are we? I guess we're on a polar train. We just crossed into Sweden from Norway. And it's still dark outside. Yeah, let's turn the lights off inside the train here. We're in a little cabin inside the train. A sleeper cabin. And, oh, look at that. The moon is out. We're looking outside at the night sky, but it's only about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In fact, the night sky has been out since about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And before that, it was just kind of light, but there's no sun. But somehow, I still don't understand why the moon is out, but the sun is not. I thought they went together, but apparently they don't. We haven't seen the sun since Monday. It's now Saturday. It's been that long since we have seen the sun. Do you miss the sun, Kyle?
Yeah, I kind of miss it. When we were riding on the bus to get to the train station, I was really thinking about that. Because the direction the bus was headed was sort of toward the horizon, and it was midday. And I could see that dawn kind of very twilight-looking horizon with the pink and the peachy orange colors. And I was thinking, man, I haven't seen the sun. This is crazy. So it occurred to me, wow, we really haven't seen it in quite a while. That's something that, when you say that, it really spells it out. Monday to Saturday.
Well, we were riding the bus from Tromsø down to Narvik, and yeah, you're right. It looked like that when the sun is about to rise in the morning, that kind of pinkish look. And it's just sort of like the sun was trying to rise, trying for an hour or so, then sort of just gave up and went back. Then sunrise turned into sunset, but there was no real sun. And it just felt like we were getting closer. Felt like maybe we'd see the sun, but no such luck, not today. Tomorrow looks good, because right now what we're doing is we're heading on a train towards Stockholm in Sweden, and that's below the Arctic Circle. So the sun does rise above the horizon. I'm not sure how long it'll be up for, but at least we will see the sun again. I think it'll feel good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to get back to that routine. But I like the darkness. It's kind of cool. You got used to it.
Tromsø is a very charming place. It's nighttime pretty much all the time in the winter, but people are out and about doing their thing. It's got this college connection inside the
I really liked seeing Tromsø University. We really just drove around to the different sections of it, but it's gorgeous. Like, all this lodgy, like, alpine architecture, but they're, you know, offices and research labs and beautiful windows. I can imagine being some kind of scientist and, you know, you're hunkered down with your terminal and your books and your reading light, and you look up and out the window, and it's just these dark Arctic peaks and stuff. I can only imagine how cool that must be to be doing real heady academic stuff. You know, I don't know. I just it's a cool feeling, and that university was just really neat to see all of those different buildings, and it's actually attached to a research hospital, and that. That is basically the large local hospital for Tromsø. And so, and one half is like academic, maybe research side, and then the other side is a working hospital for the city.
And our friend Stig drove us around throughout the town, showed us the university, showed us this incredible tunnel system. I thought it was just the entrance to a parking garage, but basically you drive underground, and then all of a sudden it's like a freeway interchange of all sorts. That this takes place under the island, under Tromsø Island. You have traffic circles in there, you have intersecting tunnels, and it goes on for miles, and you just emerge in a totally different part of the island. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Yeah, I love the tunnels. That was just really, really, really neat, because there's, like, roundabouts, mm-hmm. and these roundabouts have big pillars, and I'm talking like maybe like 40 feet in diameter, like these big pillars in the center, and it's holding the roof up because it's a tunnel, and it's a tunnel where like four different tunnels are meeting in one roundabout, so obviously there's a big pillar in the middle, but it's just pure like bedrock, I don't know what you call it, but it's just, you know, it forms this big column where everybody's driving around and going to whichever tunnel leads to where they're going to get back out to the city. But it seems like a really efficient way to do it because, you know, with the ice and everything, you know, going up hills and over the highest point of the island down to the other side of the island, that would seem very, very inefficient. So that's a remarkable use of tunneling to basically put that, like, sort of, I don't know if you want to call them highways, but it was like, you know, a real high speed way to get to one half of the island and the other half, and you can go on under the waterway to the mainland all through these tunnels. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, and they created this whole tunnel system in the 1990s. I don't know how they managed to do all of this so quickly. It would take us back in the States forever to build something of that massive nature, but they did it, and it's operational, and it really cuts back on travel time if you need to get from one place to another, because Tromsø does have a bit of traffic. There's a lot of people driving. I can understand why, because it's a fairly spread out area, and you need to get from one place to another.
And it's icy and, you know, cold, and you know, you want to be independent and get from point A to point B, point A to point B, not point 8. But yeah, you got to get from place to place, yeah. You know, and that's, you know, tricky with you, when you're relying on public transportation and with ice and inclement weather and all that sort of thing. So, but yeah, you really notice it because it's a small place. It's not, you know, a huge urban place where there's lots of skyscrapers and stuff. But you see taxis and you see some of the city buses, some of the regional buses, and then everybody, it seems. I mean, they've got, you know, passenger cars everywhere. Not a lot of SUVs, but passenger cars. You know, people are going from here to there. And
you didn't notice a lot of SUVs?
Not especially. There were some, but lots of cars and lots of station wagons and stuff, and lots of studded tires for the ice. But and the thing is, they're right in town. You know, the cars are right in the middle of this very small city center, and you're just right up against them as you're, you know, avoiding the icy parts of these slick sidewalks, because they transition. They go from like dry to really icy, and sometimes you're on the road too. I think that was an announcement.
There's an announcement in the distance on this train, but you know, we're not getting off this train for another 18 hours. I don't think so. We don't have to worry.
Yeah,
is it that long? I don't. It's about 4 in the afternoon now. We're getting off at about 10 o'clock in the morning tomorrow.
Right.
So, but yeah, back to Tromsø. It's interesting because we were in the southeastern part of the island, and it is sort of set up like Manhattan in that there's an island and it's surrounded by, I guess, what's known as the suburbs, and it's kind of like a grid in some places. The place we were is like a grid, and that's kind of the main business district. But there's other parts of the island too, and I imagine if you go there or if you go off the island,
right,
you certainly need a car. It's there's just no other way, the bus system works, but it shuts down at a certain time. Doesn't always go where you want to go. I can't really imagine living that far up north and then not living in something like Tromsø, living someplace even further removed from civilization, a small town maybe, or an outpost of some sort. But they exist, and they're around, and people do live in these places, and they survive.
Yeah, apparently they, like, get on just fine. And some places, remember we talked to one person talking about villages getting smaller because people are seeking out, like, urban city centers and whatnot. But I got the sense that, you know, that's another reason why you have cars and stuff. People have to get out to, you know, if they live off-site, you know, not in the urban center, but rather, you know, several miles out. I can totally relate with that, because Western Washington is very much like that. People come into the city, but they also live way out, so there's a lot of commuting that goes on. So I can imagine commuting out to, you know, your smaller village where maybe there's only about 50 people, or more, and you have to go in to a big city like Tromso to get supplies, or perhaps to go to the hospital to get a procedure done, and that kind of stuff. So,
and there are communities where two people live. So it's an island where I read about this. You can take a trip to an island inhabited by two people, and I presume they know each other, or there's not some kind of war going on between them. But that is really kind of amazing to think of, that's how people live in small, really small places, or maybe something like 15 people, or just different, so different than what we're used to. And then you add to that the eternal darkness in the winter and the eternal light in the summer, and it's like being on another planet almost, because everything, all the rules have changed, and the things that we take for granted simply aren't there, yet the human race is doing just fine, just changing the rules a little bit.
Yeah, it was very otherworldly. I really enjoyed that. When we were up on the mountain, I really, you know, got that sense. You have all this wind-blown ice, icy snow, and just the colors. When you're in the dark daytime, it's really beautiful. You know, you get a little bit of the sun. It's purples and blues. And the moon is really stark in contrast, because there's not a whole lot of daylight. Whereas when you're not in this area, the moon sort of is subdued. It's in the background because of the blue sky. With less light, the moon really stands out and reflects a lot of light, even in what is, mid-afternoon. Because it's so dark, the moon is the brightest thing in the sky.
Yeah, we had the full moon,
really
almost the almost full moon. I think it was about maybe 5-6 full today.
Yes, it was waxing.
Yeah, and we saw it all day long. As we were driving, we took a bus down, and the moon was just there, joining us throughout the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I imagine it's out at night too. So I wonder if when the moon is full, it must not ever set. I have to figure out a lot about where things are in the sky and how they work when you're this far north, but it was just interesting seeing that there. We did try to see the northern lights. We played by the rules. We went up north. We looked at the sky. It was clear. The northern lights just did not cooperate for whatever reason, so my streak of never seeing the northern lights continues, which kind of annoys me. I really would like to see those.
Yeah, I wanted to see the Borealis. That's really a shame.
We still could.
I guess it has something to do with solar weather. I mean, we tried to look it up, and I guess it was low as far as the forecast was. And
there is a weather site. There's a weather site for this kind of. We were thinking of starting what kind of weather? A stellar weather channel? A solar weather channel?
Oh, sure, yeah. The solar weather channel.
The
right.
Solar weather channel would be a very interesting channel to tell you if there are solar flares on the way, and if the northern lights will be out, or
going to have gamma showers,
exactly, or meteorites, whatever. People are always looking up towards the sky, and we used to think the Weather Channel was the most boring thing ever, but now it's a very popular channel. So the Solar Weather Channel, great idea. We should talk about something else involving Norway that we noticed almost as soon as we arrived. We flew into Oslo, then we flew up to Tromsø, but almost immediately we realized that, boy, things are expensive in that country. I mean, incredibly expensive. Basically, they're not part of the EU, so they use Norwegian kroners. And that's interesting, too, because, Sweden uses Swedish kroners, Denmark uses Danish kroners, and it's just so many kroners, but different exchange rates for all of them. But in Norway, things are just so incredibly over. Well, it just seems to me to be overpriced. Maybe for them, it's normal. Maybe they make enough money to actually pay for these things. It's kind of the flip side of what we experienced when we went to the Balkans and we noticed everything was so cheap. Well, here we are in the northern part of Europe, and everything is so incredibly expensive. If you want a hamburger, for instance, that's a plain hamburger. It's going to cost you $20. You know, if you want regular.
Well, that's not true. I have to interrupt you.
Okay.
If you want to sit down in a restaurant and have a burger, it's going to be $20 for the burger. If you want to go to a fast food place and have a burger, and you know the kind of place I'm talking.
Well, there's only one real fast food place in town, and the burger you're talking about is as big as the tip of your finger, I think.
Right, exactly. But a fast food joint, they're going to charge you like $4. You know, that's ridiculous. I mean, you can get a burger. Anyway, go on. I'm just saying, I want to make the distinction. You know, burgers come in various types.
So. Here's the thing. No matter what it is that you see, whether it's if it's a cheap burger, that means it's an almost free burger back home. I saw a $10 candy bar, okay, and it wasn't anything amazing. Donuts, $1 each, and things like that. And it's just, I'm not used to looking at things and saying, wow, if we were back home, this would be a third the price. It's just like living in some kind of bizarro fantasy world. But here, everything is normal. It seems very normal. I mean, getting a bus ticket is $6. It just makes you very savvy as far as having to take care of things. And we did well. We did really well. We went to a couple of cafes, had some nice conversations with people, and did pretty well. Though a visit to a cafe to get two sandwiches and a couple of beers cost about $60. So I guess we didn't do that well. But we only ate once a day, and then we bought some food at the supermarket, and we had an apartment, so we cooked there, and we made that last. We found a good deal involving eggs. Want to get into the egg deal that we got?
Yeah, we got 18 pack of eggs for like $2 or $3, which is pretty competitive. I mean, eggs can be up to like $5 and, you know, even like $7 in the States.
I think the secret was getting.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, look at that! A dog pulling a skidoo. A snowmobile, looks like.
Yeah.
Wow! I never saw anything like that before.
That was really neat.
We're sitting here at a station. Just sitting here, and we just saw a dog running down the street pulling a sled, pulling what looked like a snowmobile.
I wonder if he was in training or something.
One dog, not a dog team, just one dog. He looked like he was doing well.
Yeah, he had a good pace going there.
Wow, do you think the snowmobile had any power? Were they helping him?
I think they were.
The dog can't really pull something that big.
Yeah, but I think it's like when you walk with the dog, they go out to the end of the leash, you know, because they want to lead. So no matter how fast you're walking, they're going to be at the end of the leash, and they're going to kind of pace whatever pace you're going at. And they're just sort of running with as little slack as possible on the leash. That was really beautiful.
That was amazing. And that's one of the amazing things about taking a train, is you just see these things out the window. And this is your first time in this kind of a train, like a sleeper.
This is a heck of a sleeper. This is the best sleeper I've ever seen. I was on a train when I was very young on Amtrak going to Whitefish, Montana. And they have these sleepers, and I remember it being uncomfortable. And you reiterated that. You told me, you distinctly said the positioning of the sleepers being perpendicular or parallel to the tracks has a profound impact on how you sleep. Well, we'll see about this later, but aside from the position of the beds, this sleeper has quite a few amenities that I do not recall Amtrak having, like a sink, and, you know, all sorts of AC outlets and lights, and things just are very well designed. There's good racks to store things, and a ladder even, and, you know, climate control stuff, and, you know, it's very small space, but it's a well-used space.
And we also had an additional feature of an in-ground pool that has joined us in the room while we were sitting here.
You noticed it. Really funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. All of a sudden, we're just sitting here minding our own business.
Well,
and we
were gushing.
We were gushing about the accommodations. We said, wow, this is incredible. We have all this stuff. All this
and then the
things.
Train gushed back.
Yeah, the train gushed back. Water started coming in. I guess it came in through the door.
And then I opened the door, and I saw, like, I don't know.
The
teeth
are shining.
Yeah,
all the blood is... The blood is pouring down the hallway.
It was like a quarter inch of water, or maybe a half inch of water, mainly in the corner of the aisleway, kind of bunching up, and it was flowing back.
Apparently there's a mishap involving the shower, which is two compartments down.
Well,
what's the first thing that you open the door? I saw you stick your head on. I just hear a guy say, oh, a swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. He was like, oh, a swimming pool. And he had like a hand, one hand had like three terry cloth towels, like bath towels, and the other hand had a stack of paper towels. And I was like, wow, this conductor has his work cut out for him for today. He's probably going to be, let's just say, beat by the end of this. Yeah. I mean, what a way to start the train ride. But, yeah, I just noticed our door, I was looking at the ground, and, like, there's, like, these little streams of water coming in. And I was like, that's really odd. I mean, maybe they washed out the train before we left and sort of got it clean. And maybe they didn't dry it completely. And because the door or the train was moving, maybe some residual water was... And then I just noticed it was continuing. Like, there was more water coming in. Like... unnatural amounts of water.
I started hearing it too.
A bit more than, you know. Yeah, exactly. It was like flowing. So I was like, this is a little more than a drip. And so I opened the door, and that's when I see the conductor and this sort of like a flowing creek we have going out in the aisleway. And so I kept sticking my head out and checking up on his progress. And then he finally came in and asked if we were okay. And I said, you know, hey, we're fine. It would be nice to have some towels, but I think he is a little too busy, and I think he used all the towels on the aisleway.
Well, we're going to go down to another car and see if we can get some towels from them and just try and... Because there's still water on the floor. I basically have my feet up on the ladder so that I took my shoes off, and I don't want to get them wet.
Can I squeak? Can I make the floor squeak?
Can you? Let's hear. You see... Yeah, a floor should not be making that kind of a sound. If you have a floor that makes that kind of sound, you have a problem, and that's what we have right now. So we need to dry that. And other than that, though, it's pretty amazing to be in this. Yeah, thanks, Kyle. To be in this amazing little compartment and see the world go by, see the dog sled, and just the eternal night outdoors. And it's going to be so cool tomorrow, though, when we presumably wake up and look out, and hopefully the sun will be there. And yeah, we'll be going in the right direction to see the sun, I think, because we're on the left hand side of the train as you're facing front, and we're going to be going down south towards Stockholm, so the sun should be rising in the east. So we'll actually maybe have the sun in our eyes sometime tomorrow.
That's some impressive math calculations you're doing there.
But getting back to to the Frises in Norway.
Sure,
and,
yeah, we got to finish that thought. That was great.
And speaking of sleighs and things like that, we did eat some reindeer. Well, I figured I had to, full disclosure, I got to tell the folks these things.
I didn't know we were going to talk about that.
Well, it sort of has to be talked about because, first of all, I found my stabber pulse, which is the sausage that I fell in love with when I went to Norway the first time. And I got to say... I found out later, after I fell in love with it, that it was, in fact, horse meat. But I didn't care at that point because it was just so good. But after having it this time, you know, it's just either the flavor has changed or my taste has changed. It just isn't the same. And I don't really feel compelled to buy any more of it. I've finished what I have, but, yeah, I was thinking of smuggling in a whole lot to the country. But I'm not going to do that. It's... Something has changed. I'm going to look for a different kind of sausage. But
why would we also eat reindeer mixed with moose?
Well, I was going to get to that. We walked into a mall type of a place, and there's this guy there with a whole bunch of sausages and meat, and he's just sort of giving us samples. And that was right about the time where we realized how expensive the place was. So I was thinking, I can do like I did in Beijing once, where I went to this mall and just walked around in a circle a few times, and all these people... were giving me samples of food and filled me up pretty good.
Absolutely. We were looking to do anything we could, any tricks we could, pull out all the stops, you know?
Because everything we were doing was costing an incredible amount, and were it not for our friend Stig and various other people we met who felt compelled to buy us all these beers and things like that, or I don't know what we would have done.
Yeah.
Wow, it's just, I don't remember it being this phenomenally expensive in the past. And you just have to sort of let your wits guide you. We found a fairly cheap place to stay. And we had a good deal in that we got a kitchen with the place. We were able to actually cook. You were able to make a whole bunch of those eggs. And
I love eggs. That worked out really well.
Yeah, these are more eggs than I've had in a long time. We made soup and
simple things.
Simple things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just quick stuff. Fondue as well.
Fondue. We had fondue.
Cheese with some French bread. That's really easy to do. And, you know, you get a bottle of wine.
Wine was fairly priced. Wine wasn't that bad.
That was sort of interesting, the whole the laws around alcohol and everything here.
More restrictive than I thought they would be.
They were there, I mean, in Norway. Yeah, they close at certain times. Grocery stores don't sell after a certain hour.
You walk into the grocery store in the evening, and all the beer is covered up with plastic bags.
Yeah, it's draped with these cloths that had the logos, but, you know, you can't buy it, and the lights are off, you know. So in that cooler, you know, you can't walk in and grab anything off the shelf. But yeah, it was very interesting how they look at that sort of thing. And, you know, I guess you can go to bars and get served. But then again, a lot of the bars aren't open until, you know, after 2 a.m. and that kind of thing, where, you know, last call in the States is usually around 2 or 3. Not so in Tromsø. And
some places stay open late, but yeah, a lot of places close, and there are a lot of last calls, I guess, that come earlier. We did have an interesting misadventure with the beer, though, because we walked into the supermarket, and we saw, you know, all these six packs there, and the price was like about $4 for a six pack, and like, wow, let's bring a whole bunch of beer back to the apartment and put that in the refrigerator. At least we found what the good deal was in this country.
Yep.
And then later on we realized that wasn't a price for the six pack, that was a price per bottle. And we realized that because a bunch of people were taking individual bottles, and we saw on the other aisle that they weren't six packs at all, yet the price was still the same. So little things like that can really lead you astray. Imagine us going to the checkout counter thinking we're going to pay a certain amount, and it actually comes in at six times that amount. That's what you got to be careful of. But you find the good things. You find the things that actually aren't that expensive. We bought pretzels. That was not bad.
Yeah, it was like $1 or $2 for a pretty sizable package of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good. I really enjoyed going to the grocery store, and, you know, we got out of there with about what we were paying to go to one cafe for lunch or so, and that lasted us. I mean, we could put together different meals that lasted us for at least 2 days or 3 days, and plus we've got a bunch of leftovers.
We still have them. We still have them with us now.
Some of the crackers and stuff we brought with us on the train, and we had a couple of hard-boiled eggs earlier, too, so it's pretty worthwhile, I'd say, to go that route. And and then having friends that sort of want to host you and, you know, get you a drink or something, and that was really felt like home, you know, felt mm-hmm. really accommodating, and it was a very accommodating of them in relation to just what we're going through to survive, you know, because of the cost of things. I don't know, we got along. It is sort of a sticker shock, and once you get used to it and you find the deals, you can get by. It's doable. I wouldn't discourage people from coming to Norway because of their currency. And that's, I guess, what a lot of the sentiment was when we did talk to people, is that they have a very strong currency, and the currency is strong, or the prices are high because people make enough money mm-hmm. to afford food. And what we read a lot about and what we heard is that a lot of the high prices of food go to paying people to provide that food for you, whether it's preparing it or hosting you, you know, serving you food in some sort of restaurant. And that's, I guess, how they work. I don't understand the economics of it all, but it isn't felt in the same way locally, because they have enough money to pay for all of that sort of thing. And then when people come to visit from perhaps the United States or somewhere where their currency doesn't match up, it seems like things are inflated, but you merely have to match their the value of their currency, and it hurts a little bit because it is so strong. But the people there don't notice it. So it's kind of subtle. It's like they're prepared for people, foreigners, to come and pay these higher prices, but none of the people there actually really feel it. And, you know, they just do a phenomenal job actually taking care of the people. I mean, this is sort of goes into some other conversations that we had, but there's, you know, a lot less poverty, and people are just sort of taken care of. I don't know how much we want to get into, but I really enjoyed talking to Stig about some of the things he's doing and how well teachers do and the kinds of wages that they can hold down. That's impressive. That's just incredible. And, you know, we did a little quick math, and I was just blown away by how well they treat their teachers. Not to mention the fact that the school he said he worked at had, I think, 800 students, and there were 200 teachers or 300 teachers. That's like one teacher for every three kids.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, so you're paying them really well, and there's many of them per each student. That speaks volumes of the kinds of citizens that they're turning out, and no wonder there's like incredible amount of research and cooperative stuff going on with companies at that university, and it's no wonder that a lot of the top climate research and science goes on up in Tromso.
You add into that the free health care and the fact that you don't pay to actually go to school. You just get so much more out of things, and it's less of a struggle just to survive. Yeah, things are more expensive, but you're not going to starve. You always have a roof over your head, and that's really kind of neat. And the people do seem very, very happy. And there's some differences. For instance, things are closed on Sunday. Almost everything is closed. We haven't been here on a Sunday yet. In fact, we're not here anymore. We're in Sweden now. But if you look at buildings, for instance, buildings have these numbers on them, and the numbers, it's kind of interesting because the way the customs develop, in Norway, it's very important to have hours posted in huge letters outside buildings. So you'll see something that says 9-18, and then in parentheses 16. And what that means is 9-18, the hours are from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., 1,800 hours. And then the 16 in parentheses means that's when it closes on Saturday, 1,600 being 4 o'clock p.m. And you may ask, what about Sunday? And the answer will be, what about Sunday? Everything is closed on Sunday. That doesn't even enter into it. So that's the way they do things there. And you just have to kind of get used to it. People seem to like it. It's their lifestyle. And you just kind of you kind of roll with it. One thing that happened to us, though, that we didn't really feel like rolling with so much, we were planning our escape, well, our exit, to Oslo. Our original plan was to go to Oslo. And I went online to buy a train ticket, found a really good price. Basically, the price was 399 kroners to go from get the name of the town, Falst or something. Began with an F.
Yeah, it did.
You had to take two buses to get there because Tromsø was so far north there were no trains, and so you had to take one bus to Norvik and then a second bus to Falst. I think I'm getting it right, and then from there take a very long train that goes by way of Trondheim to Oslo. So I was able to look at the price for the train from Trondheim and to Oslo, and it was only 399 kroners. Now, what we do is we divide by 6 to get the approximate dollar value, and let's divide 400 by 6, you get, it's about
80.
No, it's about 60 something, isn't it? Because
Well, 6 times 8 is...
It's a little over $60 per person. Not a bad deal, considering the normal price was something like four times that. And so I said to myself, I prefer to pay the price that's not four times that amount. So I'm going to grab this.
Right.
And got everything, got the whole thing worked out, entered name, address, how many tickets, credit card number, all that thing. And hit the purchase button. And what happens? It just goes to a blank page. Blank page, transaction ID up in the URL, but nothing on the actual page. I figured it would just take some time, and I kept checking my email to see if something had come in, and nothing had, and hours went by. So I figured, I'll try it again. If it turns out to be a duplicate bill, I'll, of course, dispute it. And the same thing happened. Then someone suggested that I try a different browser. So I actually downloaded Chrome, installed that on my Mac, and tried it there. The exact same thing happened. So now I have three of these blank pages and no ticket has appeared yet. And it's late at night, so I can't call them to ask about this. So I figure, you know, I'll check in the morning, see if the email ever went through, if the page ever goes anywhere. And if that doesn't happen, I'll just give them a call. And sure enough, my worst fears are confirmed. Nothing had come through, and the price had changed. And so I called them and said, listen, I did everything right, and it didn't work. So what do I do now? And basically the person at the end of the phone was, there's nothing I can do. The price has changed. I can't give you that price anymore. And I was like, well, what exactly am I supposed to do to get this to work? And they just were not helpful at all. They could not even explain the problem to me. They couldn't even conceive of the problem themselves. So what we wound up doing was taking a walk down to the tourist bureau in town. And the woman there was just so incredibly helpful. I think for well over an hour, she just basically was giving us options, trying to figure things out. She went on the phone to the Norwegian train people and was equally frustrated, saying, you know, they're just very bureaucratic. They can't seem to accept when something is wrong on their end, and they just want the customer to deal with it. Obviously, there was a communication problem on the web page, and something hadn't talked to something else.
Right, she said that the banks weren't talking. Like, your bank wasn't talking to their system, or their system couldn't communicate with your bank. And, yeah, it was all messed up.
I had all the evidence. I had all the evidence right there. I had a screenshot of when it confirmed the price. I had the transaction ID, which obviously means there was a transaction attempted, at least. And you'd think that somebody would at least look into it, but they just wouldn't even consider that. And normally that kind of thing would get me rather upset, very upset, in fact, because, you know, I'm not about to pay four times the price because they screwed up, but that's exactly what they expected me to do. But we had this person on our side, and she was so incredibly helpful. She was looking into all sorts of alternatives, like taking a boat down to Trondheim, but we figured the price on that, and plus the amount of time it would take, was also prohibitive. And then she came up with the idea of, well, why not go to Stockholm instead of Oslo? It's a much nicer city. It's really amazing. You're in a Norwegian tourist bureau, and they're recommending that you go to Stockholm instead of Oslo. But she was being really honest with us, and the price is right. We're on this amazing train now. We took only one bus. We had to take this one bus to Norvik, and then wait for the train, which heads a little bit west and then south. I'm sorry, a little east and then south to Stockholm, and we were happy with that. And it seems like we were sort of steered in that direction, not going to Oslo, going to Stockholm instead. And I'm into it. And that's what you have to do when you travel, is sort of go with the flow. And occasionally things don't work out the way you want them to. You'll find somebody who can help you, and you'll figure out a way to make it work in a different manner. And sometimes that'll be even better, like when we had to deal with the volcano last spring, and we wound up flying into a different city than we planned to visit the Balkans, and it worked out great. It worked out better because of the volcano, but obviously not everybody had the same experience. But if you can be flexible, then I think that you'll be a lot happier. And the other interesting thing about that, watching her doing this for over an hour, making phone calls and looking things up. She basically made a phone call to her counterpart somewhere in Sweden, probably in Stockholm, and she was on the phone with them for a very long time, going back and forth about the various options and getting payment information and things like that. And I asked her when she got off the phone, so you're in Norway, they're in Sweden, what language were you speaking? And she said, well, I was speaking Norwegian to her, and she was speaking Swedish back to me.
She spoke very clear Swedish.
Yeah, and they both were able to understand each other, even though they're two different languages. Obviously, they're very similar languages, but still, it's an incredible thing to see. It's basically two different languages being spoken in the same conversation, and I just had never seen anything like that before. So basically, we turned a very frustrating experience into something very pleasant and interesting, and we came out of that realizing how helpful people can be. In addition to how unhelpful people can be, there's always somebody there willing to give you a hand. And I think that's sort of the way Norway works.
Yeah, it's too bad that we couldn't patronize more of Norway. But I think we're, you know, going with the flow. We're being pushed in the direction that the trip is taking. You know, it's taking the course that it's meant to go. And, yeah, I mean, she didn't have to be so helpful, but she was. And I think even a tourism board in the States would, you know, have a little difficulty being that enthusiastic and being such a helpful problem solver. I don't know, I really commend her and just was amazed at how helpful she was to us. It was really, really time well spent. And just, you know, all the footwork, like you said, calling, I think you mentioned this to me after, as an aside, I mean, you're just like, wow, you know, she called a foreign train company to set something up for you, and this is like the city tourism board. I mean, in most cities, they would say, you know, yeah, the Ferris wheel's over here, and you buy popcorn over there, and, you know, that's as much as they do. You know, they'll book you on some trip to a zoo or whatever, but she was, like, going so beyond the call of what I expect out of someone in her position, but they're just really set to, like, make your trip enjoyable in the area. And, yeah, I mean, that just ended up being really perfect because we had a shorter bus ride, and now we're on this really incredible Swedish train.
With water on the floor. But you know what? We're going to make that work, too. Yeah, it's gonna, we'll entertain ourselves with squeaky noises all night long.
.se Mix Megapols drömjul i samarbete med Plantagen, Siba.se, The Body Shop och Wonder Cruises.
Tänd ett ljus och låt det brinna. Låt aldrig hoppet försvinna. Det är mörkt nu, men det blir ljusare igen. Tänd ett ljus för allt du tror på, för den här planeten vi bor på. Tänd ett ljus för jordens barn. Dom, 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 dom.
Jag såg en stjärna falla. Det var i natt när alla sov.
Dom, 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 dom.
Jag tror jag önskade att du var nära.
För en minut sen brann den, en sekund sen försvann den. Var det bara jag som såg?
Var det låg? Jag såg på kartan som är på andra sidan jorden.
Men det är samma himmel, det är samma hav och stjärnan som jag såg.
Ja, du tänder ett ljus i Mix Megapol. Hoppas jag kan skicka lite julstämning över Sverige. Så välkommen hit, jag heter Madeleine Kilman. I morse, i Äntligen morgon, så fick vi en rejäl dos julstämning. När Äntligen morgon hade sin rimstuga. Och en av dem som var med var ju Niklas Strömstedt. Han var en jäkel på det där med att rimma. Ett uppdrag han fick, det var att titta på ett rim till biljetter till Melodifestivalen och hotellövernattning. Och det lät så här.
Växeln hallå, room service till mitt hjärtas Eloise. Vi kommer att ha så härligt och skoj. Heja fram den som sjunger till sig Billgrens pris. Så keep on walking med din egen manboy.
Oh! You gotta hand it to rimstugan!
Så lät det i morse. Bilder finns såklart på mixmegapol.se och nu tar äntligen morgon ett välförtjänt jullov. Här är Lisa Doolittle till Pack Up i Mix Megapol när klockan är 13 minuter i 12.
Megapol.
Hallå där, Madeleine Kilman heter jag. Hoppas att du har en riktigt skön förmiddag. Eller så kanske att du vill önska en låt eller två, så går det ungefär hur bra som helst. Vad får du lov att vara? Hör av dig 020 314 314. Reklam.
Det här är för dig som har ett otroligt viktigt möte efter lunch. För dig som är förberedd, för dig som inte är förberedd och för dig som glömt mötet helt och hållet. För dig som kopplat in projektorn, för dig som bett någon annan koppla in projektorn och för dig som insett att praktikanten har lånat hem projektorn. För dig som kommer att prata mycket, för dig som kommer att prata lite och för dig som kommer att prata länge men inte får någonting sagt. Det här är för dig som har ett otroligt viktigt möte efter lunch. En lunch som kan bestå av exempelvis en McChicken. Det finns ett McDonald's för alla. Välkommen till Sveriges öppnaste restaurang. Julen är magisk. Och julklapparna hittar du på Elgiganten. Föreviga julen med en 14 megapixels uppladdningsbar digitalkamera från Olympus för bara 990. Fler erbjudanden hittar du på elgiganten.se. God jul!
Det här är en enäggstvilling. Han har köpt en HTC Desire HD för 298 kronor i månaden av oss på Telia och fått Spotify i mobilen i ett helt år. Är du nöjd?
Mm.
Vad bra, då kan du vinka till Telias lyssnare nu.
Bingo-julen har kommit till svenskaspel.se. Nya spelet Snöflingan har minst 200 000 i jackpot. Vem har sagt att tomten inte finns? God jul önskar Bingo Live.
Visste du att nästan 1 miljon barn sitter i fängelser?
Och att 72 miljoner barn inte får gå i skolan?
9 miljoner barn dör innan de ens hunnit fylla 5 år.
Barnaga är fortfarande tillåtet i 11 EU-länder.
Och tusentals svenska barn mobbas i skolan. Världen är upp och ner. Du kan hjälpa oss att vända den rätt. Bli månadsgivare på räddabarnen.se.
Missa inte Grej of the Day på Siba. Ett helt otroligt erbjudande i varuhusen som bara gäller under en dag. På vår hemsida presenterar vi en ny Grej of the Day varje dag ända fram till jul. Gå in på siba.se, läs om dagens bästa köp och rusa till våra varuhus på stört. Så dags att skynda om du vill fynda. Välkommen till Siba. Hos oss får du mer klappar för pengarna.
I våras lanserade vi ett nytt sätt att köpa el. Bixia Reko El. Och redan nu har många miljösmarta valt att bli Reko. Finessen. Jo, priset har två delar. En rörlig del utan påslag och en fast del för bara 1,90 om dagen. För det får du 100% förnybar närproducerad el. Och så gör du en god gärning genom Bixia Miljöfond. Läs mer och byt till Bixia Reko El på bixia.se. Vi samlar den lokala kraften.
Jag kommer från receptapoteket Medstop och med mig har jag 100 personer.
Hej, hej!
Är det någon som undrar något om medicin?
Ja, kan man använda en nässpray
och tjata om det? Lugn, jag kan inte svara alla på en gång. Men kom förbi eller ring till Medstop apotek på 077 444 1111 så får ni svar.
Vända 077 444 1111.
Just det.
Butiker och restauranger fyllda med allt du önskar. Välkommen till Kista Galleria. Öppet 10-22. Fram till jul.